Hey, bro, don't forget, it ain't the first 48, bro. It's 60 minutes, bro.
We heard a whole lot of lip service, but hey, anybody can do that. But between them lines,
we're coming to camp. You best not miss. Even the score now. We need a score now. Back on that wall, when you hear that call, you know it's going down. We play from beginning to ending, you know how we finish. Turn at the bank, gotta handle our business. We need the ball, so it's time to go get it. Play with your heart when you hit, make me feel it. Like, you know I'm with. Come to the bank and get out of line, we sending a blitz. Say, who you with? You know who I'm with. That purple and black, and when we attack, you know what it is.
You're not locked in this zone, zone 32.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Zone 32. This is episode 101. I got my guys back with me. Got my guy Grant, Drew, Will, and you got me, Trippy. This week episode, we're going to talk about the franchise tag, Justin Madden, VK, free agency. Also, you know, the NFL draft. And we got my guy, Grant, with the BBC list. Hello? The BBC list. Yeah, Grant, the BBC list, you know?
Grant loves them BBCs.
And so we have our first sponsor.
Y'all are idiots.
Yeah, we're the idiots. Not the guy with the BBC list. But anyway, we have our first sponsor for an episode. It's Wild Turkey 101. Most of my Twitter takes are fueled by Wild Turkey 101. So they're going to sponsor episode 101 of the podcast. So drink it. Nope. It's good for you.
They actually sponsor every second of Drew's life.
Dunkin' Donuts sponsors about half, I would say.
I don't want them to be part of our podcast.
Well, I mean, we're talking about two American staples of Wild Turkey and Dunkin' Donuts. So,
what's wrong with Dunkin' Donuts?
Will's a Starbucks nerd.
No, I mean, I'll drink a lot of different coffees, but Dunkin' Donuts is it's napalm for your stomach.
Well, I would.
Well, I mean, that's what better coffee to get you going in the morning. That's why America runs on Dunkin'.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. That's literally their ad slogan.
They made
why
it.
Why would
up.
They lie? Why would they lie in commercials?
Well,
I guess Dunkin' Donuts is the best because I mean that's what EDC.
It's not the best. What you
it's
guess?
The best.
That's what EDC.
Oh, that's
go
a,
at.
Hold on,
flowers.
Hold on.
Hello,
Will your whole big shtick or not your whole shtick? But you've had like several speeches in the last couple episodes about you know trust EDC. EDC knows everything. EDC's great, and then we bring up EDC's coffee, and you're like, oh, it sucks. I don't know. I feel like you should just trust EDC and start drinking Dunkin' Donuts.
No. That's only because he's from Massachusetts. That's just what he knows. That's not what he learned. That's what he knows.
There are Starbucks here. They're just not good.
No.
Well, I know them all like Starbucks.
I know Lamar gets. You know what I know? Lacey loves Starbucks. I know that.
Right. That's a fact. She loves Starbucks.
I trust Lacey. I trust Lacey on coffee.
I don't know. I don't want to slander her, but I feel like Erica has dropped the ball. Not getting Dunkin' Donuts into that home. That's a huge
He tried. He tried, but she said, we're going to drink the good stuff here.
Yeah, drink the good stuff, then it would be Dunkin' Donuts.
No.
So the only thing she probably get from Dunkin' Donuts is the donuts, I guess. That's all.
Because no, donuts are probably the worst part about Dunkin' Donuts. Kind of funny, but it's in the name and they're you know not great anymore. But you know, we're getting way off track here. Support our sponsor Wild Turkey and our future sponsor Dunkin' Donuts.
My bad. And I left out. Oh yeah. By the way, we missing Jake this week. I don't know where Jake at. He probably died.
Yeah, Jake texted us and was just like, "I'm not coming out. I don't like him.
I gotta admit it. I killed him.
That's fair. You kind of had it coming. So I mean,
we gonna get Mr. Bateman too.
Yeah. Rashad, your time is coming. I picture him listening to this episode while he's painting his nails a different color. So
if Jake is actually dead, I did not kill him. Just to be clear,
I believe Jake said he had work. Jake lives in some mythical time zone where it's like 5 hours, you know, behind us. So it's like lunchtime for him now or dinner time. But, you know, again, we digress. I guess we just jump into the Madden BK franchise tag and kind of the meltdown that sent Ravens Twitter into because our fan base is
stupid.
Quick to react.
Very
quick
dumb.
To react
stupid. Uneducated.
Never...
We can say it.
Yeah.
They're dumb.
Drew,
it's a famous word of yours. I'm not going to say it. You can say it if you want to.
No, don't say it.
I'm sorry. What word are you talking about?
I don't know. All right.
Is it the – I don't even want to say
it. Start with an R?
Yes, I know. Yeah, it starts with an R.
Retarded, yeah. retired Ravens fans. Yeah. We're a big fan of alliteration on the Zone 32 podcast. But no, so we tagged Matabike. There was, I don't know if chatter is the right word. I know Jeff's three back tweeted it and multiple other people said it, like around 10 or 11 o'clock on whatever day, what was that, Monday was the tag deadline day. You know, there was the talk that, oh, they haven't tagged Matabike yet. Maybe there's, you know, movement on a contract, and then they ended up tagging him at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon before the deadline. And the second we tagged him, people went on to Over the Cap and Spot Track and looked and said, first of all, the two websites have different numbers for what our cap number is. I'm fairly positive that the real number is $14.5 million that we're over the cap right now. Right. That's $5 million over the cap at the moment. And then we have, it's like $9.8 million projected to sign draft picks. So like for all intents and purposes there, you know, we do have to sign those draft picks. So I guess we could trade all those draft picks, but regardless, we're over the cap, and it was the Matabike tag that basically put us over the cap, and it sent Ravens Twitter into a fucking frenzy of, you know, 2 weeks ago it was, we have all this cap space and we're going to sign Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley and every other free agent known to man. Yeah. to now we're fucking broke. I don't pretend to know the cap. I'm not a, you know, cap guru by any stretch of the imagination. There is a set salary cap number. It's $255,400,000. Like, the NFL came out with that number. Everybody has that same number. It's publicly available information that we are rolling over like $800,000 from last year. Okay, so we have $256,200 is our starting cap. Contracts that we have signed are also publicly available information. Over the Cap has a great tool where you can then look at, you know, everybody's cap hit and what happens when you cut them or trade them or restructure them or extend them, how much money can be saved. It took me all of 4 minutes today to create $45 million in cap space for the Ravens with literally not much thought behind it at all. The only thing that I had to put minimal thought into was, you know, what's a realistic Justin Matabike extension? I settled on 4 years, $88 million, because he's getting $22 million on the cap. So I just multiplied it by four because I was like, okay, probably, you know, 3-4 year deal. But regardless, like, it was that. It was, I think extending Ricard's the right move. And this is probably a somewhat biased opinion, but I don't think he's a cut and bring back guy because you're really not, you know, saving any extra money by doing that. Like, you can cut him and save $3.5 million, but then you're going to have to sign him back and you're probably going to use $1.5 million. So you're going to be right around that $2 million figure anyway. So there's no point in cutting him. Tyus Bowser's gone. Like, I don't think anybody would ever argue with that. You know, people probably forget that Tyus Bowser's even on the roster at this point. And that saves you $5.5 million. We got a lot of big contracts. So between Lamar, Marcus Williams, Marlon Humphrey, Mark Andrews, Roquan Smith are like kind of the ones that come to the top of my head. You know, restructuring and saving $15 million out of that when there's a possible like $30 or $40 million you can save is really not that big of a deal. I got the cap nerds in my mentions talking about, you know, pushing things down the road is bad and blah, blah, blah. It's not going to hurt you that much next year. Like, the cap goes up, you know, $10, $15 million every year anyway.
I think it might go up the same large increment it went up this year. So it's going to jump in a big way again.
It's going to be $300 million by 2026.
Yeah, yeah.
So Brian, instead of jumping in the Inner Harbor, went back and did some mathematical calculation, and he said it was going to be like $14 million if it rose by the same average as it has over the last decade. I would have rather him gone and jumped in the Inner Harbor. That's just me. I feel like that's better mojo for our team. But he did that research. So again, you're restructuring $15 million into future years, and the cap's going to go off $15 million. So who the fuck really cares? What other moves did I have? And then, yeah, I had extend Matabike, and I had extend, you know, Ricard, and I had cut Ronnie Stanley. And the things that I got the biggest pushback on were fans saying, you know, don't kick the can down the road, which is fucking stupid. Like, at some point, people are going to have to realize the salary cap's not real. It's a figment of our imagination. There is a number the NFL puts out, and there are a million ways around it. And, you know, restructuring contracts is part of getting around that cap number. And the other one that I got a shit ton of pushback on, which makes no fucking sense to me, is not cutting Ronnie Stanley. You cannot have him on the books for $26 million next year.
No.
And like, I don't understand this fascination to cling to Ronnie Stanley. TJ Watt ruined his career. Like, it's okay that you can look at Ronnie Stanley and say until 2019, you know, I guess for up to the end of the 2019 season, he was a great left tackle. Like, he was exactly what you want when you draft a left tackle at 6 overall. He was that cornerstone franchise left tackle. That's why you paid him in 2020 and extended him to keep him around. And then that dirty fuck TJ Watt rolled up on his ankle. He has not been the same guy since then. And he is not worth $26 million. And there is no shot in hell that he is playing at a $26 million cap hit next year. And whether that's releasing him post June 1 and saving the $15 million, trading him, and I think you save like $10 million against the cap, or I don't know why you would, but people have been talking about restructuring him, and keeping him, I wouldn't. But if that's the route we go, he is not playing at that cap hit next year. So something is going to happen with that to save money. And again, the long story short is that this whole Ravens Twitter narrative of we don't have money is fucking stupid. I'm tired of reading people saying that we're broke. Does not make sense to me.
We broke. It's crazy.
And it's such a fucking quick swing, too. Like, literally last week, the same people freaking out, pulling this Chicken Little sky is falling shit, were, you know, theoretically signing every free agent on the market. So it legitimately bothers me how dumb our fan base is sometimes.
Yeah, I see some of the fans saying we should sign the linebacker Devin White. That's stupid.
Yeah, so that was Bleacher Report. Who the fuck like puts these articles out for Bleacher Report?
Yeah, but at the same time, you had some Raven fans agreeing with it. Like, come on, we got Trent Simpson. Like, what's the point? Like,
if we're gonna sign a free agent linebacker to play inside linebacker, it's gonna be Patrick Queen. Exactly. Like, we're not gonna go get a worse version of Patrick Queen and Devin White. Why would we do that? And I guess I could get the argument that if there's some, like, you know, Quan Alexander seems to be available every year. I don't know if he's actually available this year, but, you know, some guy like that you're going to pay like $2 million to
him. I've wanted him every season. His mentality, I love the way he plays football. That dude plays pissed off all the time.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's not going to make a ton of money. Nobody's signing him to some like five-year, $50 million contract. Like, he'll get a one-year, you know, $3 million deal somewhere. And so if he's available at the, you know, beginning of camp and we feel like Trent Simpson's not ready to step up and take full-time duties as the second inside linebacker, then sure, go grab a guy like that. But if we're going to put actual money, you know, behind another inside linebacker, it's going to be Patrick Queen. So Bleacher Report is fucking dumb. Our fans are stupid. Fucking dumb. It's just a fucking nightmare of stupid opinions on the timeline that you have to wade through. Again, people 2 weeks ago who were like praising EDC for being the greatest human being of all time are not like, look at this, morons got us in cap jail. We're not in cap jail. Like, we have money. We have money. Steve has money. Steve is a multi-billionaire. You know, there are common sense moves that we can do to create cap space. The real question is going to be Matabike. And, like, the timing on his contract kind of matters. If we're going to extend him and you want money to start free agency, I feel like that's got to be the move you focus on. Odell is the other one. I'm kind of getting the vibes that Odell's not coming back, though. I don't know if that's just me. I know, like, I'd like him back.
I am, too.
And, yeah, Will had a tweet today of, you know, get rid of Bateman, and that immediately ups Odell's target share, and Odell would be happier here. And, like, I agree, but I'm just getting the vibes he's not coming back. Like, it's weird that we really haven't heard any movement on extension for him.
I'm, like, 50-50 with it, too. Like, I'm starting to get to 75. Like, yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
To be clear, I think we all would take him back and we all want him back. I don't think we can pay him $15 million again. Like, we didn't get $15 million worth of production. Fine, you can have that argument until you're blue in the face. So I'm not going to fight you on it. But, like, that's a guy that, you know, was really like the key to our offseason, and the key to the 2023 season was signing Odell Beckham. Because if we didn't sign Odell Beckham, I don't think any of this shit happened this year. Yeah, we definitely all want him back. I'm getting the vibes that he's not coming back. And so you're going to have to eat that $4 million dead cap hit. Like, I don't really think there's any way around that. And the one big move that we can have that can really, you know, clear. So I think a Matabike extension can clear up to $16 million. I also don't really know how over the cap calculates that number. I did like a fake contract extension for him, and I got his cap hit to $11 million next year. So that's saving $11 million on the cap. But that's got to be what EDC is spending the next week on, is how do I get Justin Matabike locked in before the new league year starts? Will, you've been awfully quiet. I'm not sure if you have some kind of nonsense going on at your home.
No.
No thoughts?
No.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I feel like we get the blank Will answer from, you know, he represents our fan base of just, you know, no idea what's going on when you just start talking about money.
I already,
We
well,
have
I
to.
brought it up. I mean, like, I disagree with the fan base to begin with. They're stupid.
Yeah. And I
the
feel
fan
like we run
base
into
is
this every
always
year.
stupid. The fan base is always stupid. And the fan base,
Ain't gonna
when I
lie,
say the fan base is usually
like 10
other.
people.
Yeah, exactly. It's other podcasts and other people who, you know, for some reason get attention, but they're stupid. They're very dumb. They don't understand common mathematical calculations. They don't understand how, you know, the NFL works. They don't understand
how the Ravens work. They claim to be
right.
Ravens fans.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is
that's
every
where I
year.
was going. They don't understand how the Ravens work, how roster turnover works. So many moving parts, but like it's stupid. Like all this conversation is dumb to me.
Like you saw the Bills today went on a complete purge, like wiped out, you know, two all pro safeties.
The Bills to me, honestly,
trash.
They may not be a playoff team next year.
Yeah, weak division. I not that I disagree with you, but this is more of a AFC East kind of sucks.
The Bills didn't
that.
Look. The Bills didn't look like a playoff team for the first half. Well, last year for the first half of the year, and then they surged. But cutting half their defense.
Miami can't beat teams over 500. The Patriots are going to have a rookie quarterback,
but
who knows what Aaron Rodgers
the
has
Bills
left in the
cut
tank,
half their defensive starters today.
Damar Hamlin's still there though, so
then they only got like five left.
Well, guess what?
Yeah,
resurrections are not counted towards the final score of the game. So,
bro, I saw a crazy, a crazy tweet today. Somebody said
that they were more surprised Damar Hamlin survived today than the first time.
Yeah. I forgot
yeah.
I sent it in the group chat, bro. That shit was crazy, man.
Kind of true, though. I mean,
yeah, but
you know,
it just
you don't save a ton of money by cutting Damar Hamlin, but my Bills take is more that, like, everybody else in the AFC sucks, so why not them? Not really that they're going to be good or anything, but, you know, that's how everybody praises Brandon Bean, for example, for – you know, the way he goes and gets his guys or clears off cap space. Like, the Ravens have always taken that weird conservative approach of, if you need $8 million to make a move work, they clear $8 million off the cap, they make that move work, and then they're functioning with, you know, less than $1 million of cap space. And so rather than, you know, creating that $40 million in one swing and not spending all that $40 million, they only create what they need to spend. And so that's the other thing, is I feel like if you sign Matabike long-term, you're getting rid of the potential need to restructure guys. You know, you don't have to touch Marlon's contract. You don't have to touch Mark Andrews' contract. You can leave them as is until you feel like you need that money. And that's kind of how the Ravens have always liked to operate. And so, I would think that we just spend the next week, like you see, just calls Justin Madubuike every 5 minutes and says, hey, what do you want? Hey, what do you
want?
Well,
and
until
yeah, and
breaks.
Madubuike, like one of the, like, you know, there are players who it's like, yeah, we want to get this guy under contract for 2 years, whatever. Like, just, you know.
Yeah, he's good enough that you don't want to try to find a replacement.
No,
Matabike
is a guy I would love to have under contract for a long period of time. He's a Raven. He's a guy.
He's not a Geno Stone or a Justice Hill where you extend him for three years and give him, you know, $6 million.
I don't
like,
want
a,
him
a
going
top
anywhere
roster.
Else. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not want him on someone else's team ever.
Yeah, that's
and
how
by
I
giving
feel.
Him the by giving him the tag they did, they're clearly willing to pay him at least $22 million a year.
Right.
So
exactly.
Like that's yep. You know, I also think Chris Jones factors into this a little bit of he's gonna be the top of the market. Aaron Donald is already signed for, I think it's like $31.6 million a year is his AAV. And so I would assume Chris Jones is looking for 30. And if Chris Jones settles for 28, then maybe Matabike is not the $25 million man, and maybe he's the $23 million man. You know what I mean? Like, so that's really, I kind of hope the Chiefs do us a solid, kind of like the Eagles did last year with their Hurts extension. That's kind of clearly what kicked Lamar into gear. And so I'm hoping sooner rather than later, the Chiefs, you know, pay Chris Jones whatever they're going to pay him, set that market, and then we can make Matabike work. Because, you know, I don't think Geno Stone's back. I don't think Patrick Queen, I'm 50-50 on. Like, I don't know what money he's going to get. He's going to get a ton of money on it.
He's out.
I think Patrick Queen gone. He gonna get.
I think
that.
He's going to get a ton of money somewhere else. But again, he just seems like the kind of guy that if the Ravens could make the money work, they'd keep him. I think he's kicking himself for not picking up that 5th-year option.
No, I don't think. I think EDC feels fine because it would be really expensive, and Queen feels fine too. He did it right. He's going to get paid. He'll go to Houston. And
yeah, I think he's going to Seattle.
No,
I think Geno Stone goes to Seattle. I think that's why they cut Jamal Adams.
That's why they cut the dude Diggs at number 6 available. Watch,
yeah, Quandre Diggs. They cut both their safeties, Seattle. So I mean, I think Geno goes there.
I could see Queen actually going to 3 teams, either Tennessee, the Dolphins, or Seattle.
Yeah, I just don't know why anybody would willingly go to Tennessee at this point. They have money.
Dolphins are kind of stacked at linebacker.
No, you know.
Dolphins also really don't have like a good defense.
And they just
released Javon Baker.
Well, they don't have money.
Remember they had injuries at linebacker, so they need help.
Yeah, they need Patrick Queen. I just don't think they can afford Patrick Queen.
Well, they don't really need him based on their depth chart, but they also don't have money. Well, they have money, but they don't have cap space.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting one to watch. But again, it's this fucking dumbass fan base with the daily. It's something new that people are freaking out about. That is,
you got the edibles in you, Will?
No,
Will's locked in from alone at the BFW. We're talking about math, and he doesn't want to misstep again.
I have not missed any math problems tonight.
52 times 2. Go.
104.
There you go. That was much better than last time.
Drippy, his face hasn't even been on the fucking screen all night.
Every once in a while, you get his chin pops in. It's kind of funny.
That's because I got the lights off, man. You know.
Grant, what are you paying Matabike?
I wouldn't mean whatever he wants. No. I mean, I see.
You seem I, this is serious. Like Grant seems
I
to
think,
have this.
I
weird
think what I've seen floating around. What did the whoever does all the predictions. They had one that looked
Brad
pretty
Spielberger.
What was it? 6
I
want
to say
that
at 24 mil a year, I think. That's what it worked out to.
24. I mean, the way that, so he lit it up this year. He had 13 sacks from the interior, which is a huge part of this defense with a 4-man front. If you don't get pressure from your 4 guys, the defense is useless because then you're putting your linebackers on the islands with second level, mm-hmm. you know. Lineman climbing the second level. So you need those guys that have to eat up those blockers. And he does a lot of things great, and he's so versatile across the line. Just 24 million is a lot of money. And I think he earned it.
22.
The tag's 22.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I think if you keep him on the tag at 22, that's fine. But I think if you're going to pay him and you're going to give him in the 20s, like 22, 23, I think he also.
Yeah, but if you pay
like
him, he's not going to get that against the cap.
Yeah, that would
No. But ideally, you don't want to keep kicking the can like we've talked about before. And
well, but
I mean,
no matter what, that's how it works out. It's going to get.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm cool. I think 24 is too much, but I think, you know, somewhere around 2021, I think that's fair. And I think, you know, he's still a young guy with a lot, you know, left in the tank. And he's a guy that you definitely want to lock up, especially if you're losing PQ, which I think he's on it. I'd love to have him back, but I think he's gone.
Hey, Grant, so what if he play on a tag this year, right, with the 22, and he have, like, the same performance like last year, but, like, you know, the same numbers are even better?
Then that number's 28 million.
If he duplicates, or even if he gets 10 sacks next year from the interior, not 13, like, I think that's solidified back-to-back solid seasons from an interior defensive line because he's successful in the run game too. So I think at that point, if he's done it in back-to-back seasons, give him a blank check.
He's doubled.
Yeah.
He's doubled his sack totals every year.
Well, so 26 sacks next year.
26 sacks.
Hold on. On the record, if he gets 26 sacks next year, Will called it on March 6th, 2024.
Yeah. So. What did it say?
My man, his props, his credit.
We're gonna have to bookmark that date,
he's one that I definitely want back. I mean, there's no.
I'm okay with overpaying him, and or not overpaying him, but you know, get like 20, like you said, 22, $25 million.
Well, it is, yeah, it is overpaying, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot, but I'd rather pay him $25 million a year this year, you know, like lock him into that, then see what happens next year. Because that number could easily go to $30, $35 million next year.
You get rid of especially with the cap going up, but you get rid of Stanley, and then money's a lot more fair. And then you got all those restructures that we can do, like you all talked about. And I mean, like the money in the way, so in the way that I have to like re kind of convene it is like the cap jumped $25 million. So $24 million this year isn't the same as $24 million last year. $24 million this year might be like $18 million last year.
And also, I don't know what they would do to it. Nobody seems to be talking about this. But there was a rumor that leaked, or you know, somebody posted an article about how they're allegedly going to go to 18 games. And the only way that I can see players agreeing to that is the cap going up. I don't know what they would do to existing contracts, but if the cap goes up significantly more again, that's going to blow the market up next year. You know, guys are going to be getting fucking $30 million a year like it's candy at that point. So.
Well, and you got all these streaming deals. I mean, you had Amazon Prime 2 years ago. Then you had Peacock this year. Like, those TV deals, like, we talked about it, what, like, 3 years ago that we were saying, like, all these TV deals coming up. Like, we called that shit. And, like, it's going to keep rising. And, like I said, I wouldn't be shocked at $300 million by 2026.
That's a lot, though.
And I want to act like we're all smart for saying that the cap was going to explode the way that it did. But, like, anybody with a brain knew that after COVID it was going to start doing this.
Yeah, it was kind of projected that way.
Yeah, like that's the crux of my issue with Ravens idiots on Twitter, is that like these very clear facts exist. Like the cap continues to go up. It's not rocket science. It's tied to league revenue. The league revenue keeps going up. They're going to add another game, which is going to add more revenue. They continue to try to expand overseas markets, which is going to expand your TV revenue. Like, it's going to expand your, you know, ad deal revenue. Like, the league is going to continue to make more money, and therefore the salary cap's going to go up. Like, there's a very clear, you know, cause and effect relationship here.
They're talking about doing 18 weeks. So, 18.
I think it would be 19 weeks, because I think they're going to add a second bye week for everybody.
Exactly. That was my point. So, 19 weeks means 19 weeks of games and ads.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just back on the preseason games then.
I would assume they drop a preseason game. Yeah, go to two.
Yeah, they only need two. So training camps four.
Yeah, preseason like that's the no-brainer move, is you cut the third preseason game, you go to two. But yeah, so that adds money to the league's pockets, which makes its way to the players. Like this is not some profound thing that we're announcing to the world on Zone 32 podcast that nobody's ever talked about before. Nobody seems to put two and two together on that on Twitter. It's always, you know, Ravens have no money. Ravens can't pay anybody.
And they're like, oh my God, they're going to make these guys play another game. Shut the fuck up. No.
Like they want to.
How they do it. I mean, I like the preseason because it gives people a chance to fight for their job and their dream. But at the same time, it's like starters don't play. So you're having backups. And if a backup excels against the backup, it's still not impressive because they're not doing it against the starters. So then you put them in a game, and you know what I mean? Like it's not really highlighting them. It's just having them do what they do in training camp. Go against twos, go against twos, threes, go against threes. Like they're not sure what they can do against ones.
There are guys like your, you know, 53rd man on the roster is probably determined by preseason. But the core of your roster that everybody watches on Sunday that, you know, contributes to your team, like everybody knows that going into the season. There's never some guy who's like you're projecting to be a starter that gets cut during training camp because he had a bad showing in a preseason game or something like that. You know, it's a guy that maybe was your wide receiver seven at the start of camp that somehow, you know, works himself up to wide receiver five. And so, like, you can do that in two games. You're not taking that away. And preseason NFL is terrible to watch. Like, I think everybody agrees with that. It's not good.
That shit boring.
It's the same thing with, you know, Will. I think Will has a secret ad deal with some UFL gambling site that he hasn't told us about yet. But it's the same reason that's going to be.
I fucking wish.
But it's the same reason that's going to be terrible, is because it's players not good enough to play on Sundays playing against each other. So you're watching a shit product. You know what I mean? It's no different than watching preseason football or watching, you know, some.
I mean, I like it, though, because, I mean, you know, NFL over, it gives you something else to watch, though, but. I mean, I
feel it gives you something else to watch, but you don't have the talent. So at the end of the day, like, you're watching shitty football. And so is watching shitty football better than watching no football? Probably. But, you know, during baseball season, I don't know if you're into a UFL game.
Go Orioles.
Will's picks with unnamed gambling company will probably be live on the timeline at some point. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what he's got in store over there. But it dawned on me the other day that that's clearly why Will is pushing a UFL
game. No, untrue. Untrue.
So is it FanDuel?
Untrue.
So Carrabas turned down a shit ton of money from DraftKings. Did they then turn around and offer that to you?
I wish. I would do anything that they want me to. I would fucking.
Okay, so Will is a DraftKings employee now. So we are now a DraftKings podcast, apparently.
No. Listen, if DraftKings told me to say Drew is a Nazi who transported.
I'm waiting to see how deep Will digs this hole.
Yeah, I cut myself off there.
Hey, the Legion done kicked his ass.
Oh man.
Right.
Those veterans were feeding Will, you know, $1.50 Bud Lights. No, he doesn't know how to act.
That's true.
Stop.
So when are you changing your Twitter handle to Wear Purple Pants DK? Have they told you when to do that yet?
No, I'm good.
I'm going to catch him by the end of the podcast. He's going to admit to this secret gambling deal that he hasn't told any of us about. But
No.
Is the promo code going to be Wear Purple Pants or Zone 32 related?
I do like Grant's background a lot.
Do we get 32% profit boosts if we use your code? Is that how that works?
You ain't catching me, buddy.
Oh, so you are admitting that there's something I can catch you on. It's good to know.
No, but
walk right into the trap.
Did you see that? Calvin is pitching chiropractors.
What?
Yeah, check out his fucking timeline.
He's pitching chiropractors.
Yeah,
pitching
for what? What is he selling them? I can Photoshop people with fixed backs for you.
Check it out.
So we got Will pitching DraftKings. We got Calvin pitching chiropractors. This is how Ravens Twitter is.
I have not done that.
Oh, they pitched you. Got it. Sorry. I missed that. I thought you maybe approached them first. So many people are going to listen to this and be like, wait, is Will actually a DraftKings employee now? I think we just run with it. Yeah, we got way off topic here. But the long story short is the Ravens have plenty of money to go sign. Oh, that was the other debate that was interesting on the timeline is the Saquon Barkley versus Derrick Henry stuff. Like, are we all in agreement Saquon's the better player?
Yeah. I love Derrick Henry, but Saquon's just right now, yes.
I think Todd Monken, that's the more fit running back for the Todd Monken style of offense. If you get what I'm saying, can catch out the backfield. Yeah, Derrick Henry could do the same thing though, but I think Saquon more shifty. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, trust him what he was doing with the Giants. When Grant unveiled his original BBC list of, you know, Baltimore ball carriers, like, he had Saquon number one. And my pushback initially was that I think Derrick Henry, for like a dollar-for-dollar comparison here, would be a better fit because I think he's going to cost less – or I thought at the time he was going to cost less money. But now when you start looking at the contract projections, like, they're only a couple million dollars apart on an AAV scale. And, you know, a lot of places have Saquon signing like a 3 or 4 year contract versus Henry signing a 2. But, you know, Saquon's younger, less tread on the tires. So, again – I'm only looking at this from like a year-to-year thing. And if it's, you know, $7 million a year for Henry and $10 million a year for Barkley, like, Barkley is the no-brainer pick. You know, when I was thinking it was like 7 versus 12, I'm obviously going to take Derrick Henry at $7 million over Barkley at 12. But if they're much closer, like it's being reported, then, yeah, fucking sign me up for Saquon Barkley. But people were legitimately arguing against that, which makes no sense to me. Like, if you're going to spend big on a running back, go get the best one. Why are we even like having that discussion? Again, another, you know, example, $47 million that we brought up on the podcast of our fan base being fucking stupid. But yeah, that's one.
I think it's that video of Derrick Henry he just posted though. So,
well, I mean, I would be happy with Derrick Henry. Don't get me wrong. Like, if that's who we end up signing, like, he is a good pickup. But if you have an option to go get Saquon Barkley, that's just a no-brainer move. I mean, he is far and away the best fit for our team out of any of the guys. And I think, like Will had mentioned a bunch of times earlier, that, you know, on top of him being the best running back, you can put Kim and Keaton Mitchell on the field at the same time. Like, you can split Saquon out wide and make him a slot wide receiver, and he's capable of running routes and catching. And, you know, he's a severe mismatch on most linebackers. So, and then we have one more, you know, I guess current Raven topic. Rashad Bateman blocked Trippy on Twitter for merely asking what people thought of Rashad Bateman, which I thought was a wild move. So that means Rashad Bateman's name searching, which is concerning to me. You know, this is kind of, it's been a make or break year for Rashad Bateman for pretty much, you know, all of last year. And starting off the offseason with name searching on Twitter and getting sensitive because people don't like you anymore is not a good start.
I think somebody added him in the comments though, but it's cool.
It's terrifying that that is the question that made him sad.
That's just sad. That's just sad though, because all I did was take up for him, even when y'all was talking.
Yeah, I mean, out of anybody about him, on this podcast, you are the most pro Bateman out of any of us by a significant margin. And he's mad at you for simply asking a question, which I find very odd. Well, and again, it's why Will didn't like Bateman in the first place. Like, that was where Will's issues with Bateman started, is this sensitivity online. That, you know, felt like Bateman was taking things a little too personal and getting mad at the EDC comments last year. And that was when Will kind of drew his line in the sand, was like, fuck this guy. And I think we've all kind of come around to that now, but Will was definitely the first on that train, I would say. Just very odd that he is spending his offseason trying to, you know, like, block people and change Twitter narratives.
Right. To be honest with you, he ain't need to do shit to even, you know what I mean?
Fuck. Yeah, like, you didn't say anything.
He's being a pussy.
Yeah, he is.
Acting like a pussy.
Big time, which is not good. We had
it. Like, oh, my friends being, oh, my friends calling me out on what I have done.
Yeah, and really, Trippy didn't even call him out. He just said, hey, other people called him out.
Exactly, right. Like, actually, every time, like, Trippy says anything about anyone on the Ravens, I check, and I'm like, well, you know what? Trippy has been positive about this guy. Trippy is a Bateman positive guy. So Trippy being like, hey, Ravens people, what do you honestly think about Bateman?
And then,
it's a nothing. He's asking people to share, and then Bateman blocking Trippy. Hey, Bateman, you are a fucking pussy. Hey.
Free Trippy.
Hey, yeah. No, whatever. Don't.
You want to act like Ball and Humphrey.
Or not. Or not. Whatever. Hey, but just make it clear. Hey, someone clip this and send it to him. Bateman, you are a pussy. And that is why you have not worked out here. You're a fucking pussy. That's why you aren't a wide receiver 1, 2, 3. You might be a 4. I think you are actually a 5.
And this is why, so people were, I don't know if stunned is the right word, at you know, EDC and Harbaugh's lip service for Bateman at those combine press conferences.
Yeah. Yep.
And that is clearly because they know Rashad is sensitive and they want to get the most out of him if he's going to be here. So the way that they go about that is by saying nice things about him and
he's a pussy.
Confidence.
He's a pussy.
He is. He you is. And what? There was another player last year that, you know, showed the same sensitive qualities and it didn't work out. So he's got
JK's
some
a pussy.
Yeah, he's got some Jaquelin Dobbins in, and you know, that's not really a good thing. We don't want Trippy.
Cover your ears. JK's a pussy.
Trippy's heard us say much worse about. Do we get into I feel like we have a light week because this is kind of like the dead week where nothing happens in the NFL. Like, a bunch of guys get released, but nobody really signs because, you know, free agency is not open yet. And I feel like we've kind of covered our, you know, really our one move was tagging Matt Ebike, and we really just want to sign him so that we have cap space to participate in free agency. But other than that, there's really not a ton to talk about. Do we get into Grant's BBC list?
The BBCs.
I mean, what I know for a fact is that Grant loves BBCs.
Grant's a big BBC guy, you know, loves the blocking crew. That's what BBC stands for, in case anyone was wondering, Baltimore blocking crew. Grant's big into offensive line play because, you know, that's like what nerds who watch tape love is offensive line play, and that's Grant to a T. So
BBCs are Grant's passion.
That's he has BBC tattooed on his arm. You guys can't see it because we don't release a video version, but that's, you know.
I guarantee anybody so
Grant,
to this.
Grant, for your list, crazy. you've typically been doing free agents, draft, and kind of like sleeper picks. What have you done this week? Is it all draft? Is it all free agents? Is it all, you know, budget guys?
Free agents, draft, and like guys that would be potential options for Baltimore.
Okay.
Right. So I'll start with the free agents. So Baltimore blocking crew options. Everybody's freaking out about the offensive line. Everybody's like, "Oh, we're gonna have to rebuild. Zeitler's gone." Talking about cutting Ronnie.
Me and Drew are not.
I got two
out.
Seconds in. I got two seconds in.
That was longer than I thought you'd get in, to be honest.
But what people don't understand is they're panicking too soon is that there are a lot of good options that are going to be out there in free agency, and the draft is crazy deep at needs. We're good at center. You don't got to worry about a center. Like that's, we got the arguably probably the best center in the league, and he's in the second.
Well, now that Kelsey's retired, I don't know who's better.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I mean, you know, there are options for the guard spots. There's things out there. So anyways, free agent wise, Tyron Smith now being out there is, I mean, that's, if you're going to release Ronnie Stanley, that's a no brainer. He was healthy last year. He was getting back to his form. When that guy's on the field, he's outside of Trent Williams, the most dominant left tackle in football. And I mean, you don't have to, and if you're worried about injury concerns, okay, well, what's Ronnie? And are you going to pay him $26 million or are you going to pay Tyron Smith, who's probably going to get more in the higher teens, I would say, at this point in his career? So like, you know, maybe a 1 year, like $15 million deal or something like that. Like I would take
you give him an Odell contract, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like a two year 20, incentivize it, whatever. But I like him. You know, that's my guy. You know, the money has to make sense. And I think it would. Two, your Michigan guy, Mike Onwenu. How do you say it? Onwenu?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be available. I think Patriots are going to throw a lot of money at him, but yeah, I would not mind.
I like what he does. They moved him to right tackle. You know, he played right tackle, and you know, that's an option. I mean, I think in our offense, right tackle is almost as important as left tackle, if not as important, because of the way that Monken uses the quick game. And yeah, you know, generally you run, obviously you run both sides of the ball, but generally it's more predominantly ran to the right side. So you got to have your run blocker. He's a big dude. You know, he's just a wall. Third, bring Zeitler back. You know, if you're going to get rid of Ronnie, go ahead and bring the vet back, make it a more team friendly deal, you know, incentivize him, you know, thank you for your time. You know, keeping him as a core with the offensive line next to Linderbaum, I think is important for Linderbaum's development as center. So I think those two really work well together. And, you know, Zeitler's a good guy. And, you know, he's somebody that you want in the locker room. He's a great guard. So, I mean, it just makes sense. You know, people act like, oh, my God, he's gone. He's never coming back. Like, there's still an option to bring him back.
I feel like if he was available for a reasonable contract, he would have been signed before his void money hit. Again, that's maybe me reading non-existent tea leaves, but I feel like he is looking for more money than we're willing to pay him. And maybe that number drops as you get closer to camp or something, or the draft. But
well, his family seems to really like Baltimore, and he seems to really like Baltimore.
Yeah, so no, I agree. If he wants to come back for a reasonable contract, I'm more than happy to have him back. I just don't know if that's what he wants.
Not for that price. Just give me Ben Cleveland. Let's see what Ben Cleveland got.
I mean, he looked good at right guard. That's another thing is, like, you know, everybody gave him shit for left guard. You know, he obviously wasn't left guard. It's like, you know, some people just play better on a different side of the ball. And, you know, he was a left guard before. So
he's not an intelligent, back, you know, clearly he is not a intellectually gifted human being. So maybe learning the left side of the offensive line was too much for him.
Yeah. Keep which him is fine. There. Four, Jonah Williams, good right tackle option. I know that last year he had asked for a trade, I think, when they signed Orlando Brown or whatever, because he wanted more money. But I think that he played really well on the right side. He's still young. He's 26. You know, he's a long, big guy. Like, I mean, you know, another one, like, depending on the money, you know. I don't think he's going to command high-end tackle money. I think he's going to get young – his ceiling's not super high anymore. So he's going to get good right tackle money. So, I mean, you know, that's something that you'd want to consider and look at, somebody like him. And then Mekhi Becton, I know everybody's on the injury train with him, but he played well last year. He leaned down. He looked quicker. I think a lot of the stuff with him is his body getting used to all the weight he lost, so getting his feet better. And, what you know, we have a history of, you know, doing pretty well developing offensive linemen, especially offensive linemen that have athleticism. I think he wouldn't be a bad option on the right side.
I wanted to trade for him a couple of years ago when he asked for a trade. So he's got
a lot of like people look too much on the surface of things. Yeah. Like they read reports, they read headlines, they see a guy's hurt one time. I mean, Saquon's another example. Everybody's like, oh, he's injured all the time. He's had like one major injury, and that was the ACL. But other than that, it's just tweaks. And then it was times where he's up for a deal. Does he want to rush back when they're last in the league? You know, like, or whatever. But
do they want him back, or do they want a high draft pick? It's, you know, that whole game. So
yeah. So I mean, I think Mekhi is a pretty good option. He's a swing tackle too. You can play both sides. So, you know, that's somebody, if you bring him in, put him on a 1 year prove it deal, 2 year prove it, however you want to incentivize it. And then just, you know, he's a guy that you come in, he could start, perform well starting. Or if you got somebody better than him, if somebody goes down, he's a great option on both sides. So, I mean, you need that a lot of times, is a really solid swing. So, obviously, you know, another money situation. Draft guys, Will's guy, Joe Alt, I think he's the top dude. 6'8", with the way he moves, like, you just don't – I mean, he's a freak.
I'm out on Notre Dame offensive lineman.
You're out on – yeah, because of Ronnie.
Yeah, out
on
him.
But
he's a good player, but
he's the clear cut dude. He will never sniff him, so it's not really, you know, an option to even worry about. Two, JC Latham from Alabama. I think he's another one. You know, he was highly touted coming out of high school anyways. Like, he, you know, he's been a dude his whole life. He was the king, the man of the offensive line last year. So I think, you know, he's one that he's not gonna be there either. But like, he's somebody that I think is gonna have a good career. Troy Fautanu from Oregon State. I think he's like Iron Man. That dude is a monster. He
I thought he was Washington.
I'm sorry.
You're confusing him with
Fuaga.
He's number one. He's number
Fautanu. But he's an inside guy. But he's got potential to be.
Is he really an inside guy though? I've seen people.
Yeah, he's a guard. He's his stature.
He's a guard. He's a guard size wise and everything, but like, he's played tackle and he's played tackle well. So why not give him a shot if we draft him there? You get what I'm saying?
I do. Like, I do. But I think you want to maximize what he can do.
Yeah.
If you want to maximize what he can do, he's a left guard, and he's probably within, I would say, two seasons looking at Pro Bowl potential as a guard. Like, he's got that type of capability of the guard. Yeah. But who I was talking about, Ford. Talisa Fuaga from Oregon State. He's the dude that he's a big guy. Like, he rose quick. And I know we give PFF shit a lot, but they did. It came out that he had He's only had three penalties in his career and never allowed a sack. So okay. Those are things.
Fine.
That's what PFF is good for, is compiling stats like that that nobody would go.
But don't up, get so. Don't give me some sort of made up.
Pass blocking grade.
No rankings. But like, okay. But to think about, you know, an offensive lineman, and you know, they to go your whole career without allowing a sack. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
important.
Oh yeah.
So,
of course.
You know, and then on the flip side, only three penalties. So he's not holding to prevent the sacks. Like, you know what? He's not
a sauce gardener.
Whatever.
Holding to prevent touchdowns.
He's only holding if you get called. My fifth guy is my guy I'm really high on, which he could potentially be there for Baltimore, and that's Kingsley Suamataya from BYU. He's athletic as shit. He's 6'5". He's got an 82.5-inch wingspan. Like, the dude is a guy, and he's quick for his size, very quick, and he can do it all. He can pass block, run block. He can get out to the second level. Like, I look at him more as a right tackle. If we – let's say the dream scenario is we – sign Tyron Smith, put him at left tackle, draft Kingsley and put him at right tackle, and you've got two bookends that, and you got your future at the right side that can potentially move to the left side. So he's a guy that he can play both. So if Tyron Smith, his 2 year deal runs up, goes out, whatever, Kingsley could develop and eventually be the left tackle of the future. He's that good. My guys, Tyron Smith, obviously number one. Fuaga number two from Oregon State, Kingsley at three, Jonah Williams at four, and Zach Zinner, Drew's guy.
I was going to ask what you thought about him.
I love him, man. He's not a first round guy, so I have
no, especially with the injury, you can get him late.
Yeah, I said not at 30, but he's gritty. He's a huge. He's 6'6", long arms. Like he's an impact guy, and he can play. You know, he's a right guard, so that fills that hole if Zeitler doesn't come back, and he's a guy that you can pick later, and you don't have to worry about kind of. I think linemen in this draft are like we talked about receivers. Like they're so deep that like you don't have to reach on anybody. But I think a lot of like big name guys are going early. I like Mims, but I'm not as high on him as a lot of people. I think he's a massive body, but I think
that's why people like him.
Something to look at. But I mean, I'm big on Kingsley. Like Sumatai, he's gonna be a dude, and I'd potentially be shocked if he's not there at 30. So he's one that you'd have to think about.
And I like your last statement about you don't reach on an offensive lineman. I would say outside of tackle, there's that, you know, handful of guys who are worth taking at 30. But, you know, after that, we have Filele on the roster. We have Saul on the roster. We have Voorhees. We have Cleveland. Like, we do have guys with some NFL experience or, you know, who we've had in the system for a couple of years now that you kind of just – put them at camp and see who wins the job. I mean, that's how John Simpson ended up being our left guard last year is, you know, we went into camp with no real defined starter and he won the role. So I wouldn't mind doing that again this year with a couple of the younger guys that we have already and maybe a couple later round draft picks that, you know, again, you're not overextending. You don't feel like the pressure to take them in the third round because you need this specific guy. You just kind of take who's on the board in the fifth and sixth round.
Yeah, and like you said, like you named all those guys off that we already have on the roster. So it's like you don't have to reach. You can get your guy. Doesn't matter what position it is. But honestly, it's cliche, but competition brings out the best in people. And that's how you know who your guy is. And that's how you know who's going to win the job and who's the most competitive. And you want your competitive guys in the game. You don't want somebody that's going to lay down.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, outside of left tackle, we could have all the starters on the roster already. We could go grab somebody in the draft and free agency and, you know, they could take that job. But they've earned that job at that point.
I'm interested to see Fa'alele. Like, so Fa'alele, he looked a lot more nimble this year, and I'm interested to see what they do with his conditioning towards the offseason. Like, if it's like cutting him down a little bit, getting his footwork, you know, a little bit better. But he's got left tackle potential. I mean, he's obviously a big body, but you know, your left tackle is your brick. That's your blind side guy. So you're more athletic. Your run blocker is going to be on your right side. Both have to be decent in pass pro. But he's so big and so long, he makes pass rushers have to extend the loop. And when you make a run the loop, that's what you have to, you know, he's a guy that he has the ability there. His conditioning worries me.
Trippy wanted to throw in a pause there, but didn't, FYI.
No, I'm laughing at Will.
Oh, why? Is Will half asleep?
No. I froze.
No, you didn't.
He froze in real life.
He froze, all right.
Yo. Trippy, your face hasn't shown up in real life yet.
Oh, I ain't gonna lie, I'm tired as shit, but look, I'm good. I'm up. I'm woke.
We got the ghost of Trippy speaking to us here.
I'm here.
I like Grant's list. Again, this BBC, you know, fucking segment that we've done the last three episodes has kind of disappointed me because I expected it to spark massive arguments with Grant, and he really hasn't, other than like, you know, like a couple lower end guys that he didn't include, but, you know, he included somebody else who I liked and said, so it's kind of like whatever. I really haven't had anything to argue with Grant on these lists.
I mean, the major takeaway is Grant,
BBC enthusiast.
As we knew, BBC expert.
If you need BBC's ranked, Grant is your guy. Grant's like, I hope you all die.
So what, free agency start next week, right?
Yeah, next week's episode should be a little bit more relevant stuff to talk about because things in the NFL will actually happen other than, like, you know, common sense cutting. Like, we'll have to have made some roster moves to get under the cap before the new league year starts, and we'll be in that, like, legal tampering window where you're going to start
getting news. I was going to say, isn't tampering next week?
Yeah, so you're going to get, you know, some of that news that's going to start leaking out. You're going to get some of our moves again. Like a Matabike signing now would indicate that the Ravens are looking to start free agency with a bang and have some money in their pocket to spend. And, you know, maybe you don't extend Matabike and you make some drastic cap moves to, you know, you still want to be aggressive and then you get rid of Ronnie or you do something else to, you know, clear them out.
We definitely want to cut some players.
Yeah, I think in the next week you're going to get a clearer vision of how the Ravens look at Ronnie Stanley, I think, is the real question that's going to get answered quick. You know, do they see usefulness in him? Do they want to keep him around? Because I think everybody else is kind of, you know, again, like we talked about Geno Stone, like he's not going to start for us and we're not going to pay him the money that he's going to get somewhere else. Patrick Queen is a money thing. Like, we'd love to have him back, but again, I don't think we can afford him. You know, does Jadeveon Clowney come back, or does he test the waters and see if he, you know, his great year can help him cash in somewhere else?
I think he's coming
same
back.
Thing with, I think he's coming back too. If it came down to him or Van Noy, I think he's the one that comes back. He seemed to, you know, be more on board with Baltimore from the beginning. You know, again, people act like KVN's been here for his whole career, but he didn't come in until week four. So, like, there was clearly, you know, some and I don't blame him. Like, he was looking for more money. That's fine. Like, that's his livelihood.
I think he might go to Seattle up there with Mike. He going to be closer, like, to his family on the West Coast.
I think he's also got a relationship with Jerod Mayo that, you know, I could see him going to New England, back to New England. He's well-liked around here. You know, people – again, it's rare that the Ravens sign a former Patriot and I get text messages not saying like, haha, this guy sucks and you're stuck with him. Like, I got a lot of like, he's actually really good. Like, you know, you fucking got a good one with him. So, again, I'd love to have KVN and Clowney back. I think realistically, we're probably going to get Clowney back on too, but you never know. Crazier shit's happened. But yeah, so that's a lot of words, you know, quite the word salad to just say that, like, there wasn't much to go over this week, and it's really next week is when kind of, you know, our roster is going to start shaping up and you're going to start seeing how the 2024 Ravens are going to look on opening day.
Yep.
So Trippy, I think you got to die again this week.
Yep.
You know,
so
no Jake.
So we all done right now?
Yeah, unless I missed anything, but it's been a pretty dead week so far. I can't think of any, you know, major shit that's gone on. You know, we talked about Matabike and just the cap in general. We had, you know, Grant give us his Baltimore blocking crew picks. You know, we touched on, yeah, I think we're good to go.
Well, folks, it's been a dry week, so now it's time for me to die.
That's good. That's good.
See Grant. Ya.
Grant, what the hell?
Grant on mute. See ya.
Grant, unmute yourself and say see ya really loud.
Hold up. Is Grant asleep? Hello?
Grant dead? Grant.
Well, so I was muted.
You gotta say see ya. Fuck.
See ya!
There he is. There he is. Zone 32.